My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So he was sitting down to express what was in his mind. And we know that the power of the Spirit put those things in his mind because he was predicting things that would happen 1,000 years later and some things that haven't even happened yet another 2,000 years after that. And so we turn to verse 2, and he's talking about the king. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Grace is poured into the lips of he who is to be the king. And we look at Luke chapter 4. In verse 22, when Jesus was speaking in the synagogue at Nazareth. And all bear him witness when he was speaking there and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And so the grace of the lips that was mentioned in the psalm is expressed by Luke as he described Jesus' message to the synagogue there in Nazareth. Returning back to Psalm 45, we read verses 3 and 4. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Here is the picture of a majestic, mighty, conquering warrior. And we turn to the 19th chapter of Revelation, and we get an expansion on this thought, and something that, of course, has not even taken place yet. And we will read, starting at the 11th verse, concerning the mighty king that is the subject of our hope and who we want to make as the one that we would like to follow. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here is a description of this mighty conqueror in the future. And we hope that we will be with him, those that are clothed in white upon the horses that follow him. Returning to the psalm, in the 5th verse we read, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. He is victorious in battle. His arrows are sharp and cause the enemy to fall. And why is that happening? Because of his truth, because of his meekness, because of his righteousness, which express his true character. And we read in a psalm in Isaiah chapter 11 concerning that character. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The Spirit of God is in him, and that's the kind of a leader that the world needs to solve all of its problems. And we look forward to that leader. Returning to the psalm and looking at verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. He is referred to as O God. Elohim, the mighty one. God's word made flesh. God's representative on the earth. One who fulfilled God's will perfectly. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1, where this psalm is quoted. Looking at the 8th verse. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. And so Paul, in writing the letter to the Hebrews, quotes that psalm and knows it applies directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the psalm, we read about the fact that the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. That's quoted in that 8th verse in Hebrews. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom, and the scepter was the rod that the king held, which represented his office, and it is a scepter of righteousness. Going back to Psalms chapter in verse 7, it says, thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus has a God, the Almighty God. The superior anoints the lesser. Jesus Christ was the anointed. He was the Messiah. After his baptism, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit when the dove came down and rested upon him. And the psalm says that this is all, he is above his fellows, which shows us that he was a man, but he rose above the rest of mankind because he committed no sin. Returning to the psalm and looking at the 8th verse, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Remember when Nicodemus took the body of Jesus and wrapped it in spices. Two of those spices were myrrh and aloes, with a literal fulfillment from these words in the psalm. So this is the picture of the king that we have in these first 8 verses of the psalm. A leader in the future. We want to be with him. We give him all of our allegiance. We give him all of our hope. And think about this. Jesus knew this psalm, and he understood it better than any of us can understand it, and he realized that it applied to him. And this was describing what he would be like in the future. And what a exhortation to him and a driving force to him to follow in his father's way so that he could become the future king. So we go to the second half of the psalm, and this is about the bride of Christ. And we can be part of that bride of Christ if we are found faithful in that day of judgment. And first we'll talk about the outward appearance of the bride of Christ, the position that the bride of Christ will have in the earth in the future. And it is in very exalted terms because it refers to this bride of Christ as king's daughters and as a queen. And in verse 11 it says, "So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." And so Jesus, who is king, the one who has been described in the first part of the psalm, desires the beauty of the bride of Christ. And we hope that we will be part of that bride of Christ and can reflect that beauty. Verse 12 of the psalm. "And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor." And I think this describes the position of the bride of Christ before the nations. The daughter of Tyre will bring a gift to those saints who are ruling in the kingdom. "And the rich among the people shall entreat their favor," recognizing the position that they have under the King, Jesus Christ. Verse 13 in the psalm, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold." Beautiful appearance. Gold, representative of tried faith, represents the major characteristic of those who are going to be part of the bride of Christ. Verses 14 and 15, "She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought, and they shall enter into the king's palace." It's a glad occasion when the bride of Christ comes before her king. Verse 16, "Instead of thy father shall be thy children, upon whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth." And so the saints at that time are going to be princes in all of the earth. And then the last verse, speaking of the bride of Christ, "I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people of the earth, praise thee forever and ever." So that's the outward appearance and the position in the world of the bride of Christ, the saints, of which we hope that we will be part. And then we look at another aspect of it, and that is the character of the bride of Christ. Verse 10, we go back to it. "Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people in thy father's house." Hearken, consider, incline thine ear. They're attentive to the word of God. They absorb it. And it makes us think of Samuel when he was a young man and said he never let any of the words of God drop from him, but he absorbed them into his mind and into his heart. We look at verse 13 in the psalm, and it says, "The king's daughter is all glorious within." An inner beauty that radiates from that. And it makes us think of the description of the ideal wife in 1 Peter chapter 3, and beginning at verse 1. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by their conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and wearing of gold or putting on of garments, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. There it is described, that inner beauty which we strive to develop now and which will be completely evident in the immortalized saints in the kingdom. Going back to the psalm and looking at verse 14, she shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework, for virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. Notice the type of companions he has, those that are pure in heart, that follow the right ways. So there we have this psalm, the first half being about the king, and the second half being about the bride of Christ. So what exhortation can we obtain from this? We have talked about characteristics which we must develop now so that we can be part of the bride in the future. And as we talk about these characteristics, can these be ones that people can see in us now? Hearken, consider, incline thine ear. Are you attentive to the word? Do you retain the word in your mind? Is the word part of your way of life? And again, we go back to Samuel, and when he said that he would let none of the words of God fall to the ground. And it makes us think of Mary and Martha when they were together and we read of it in the 10th chapter of Luke at the 38th verse. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. She was hearkening to the word of Christ, considering it, inclining her ear, and making it part of her life. What can we do to help us develop these characteristics? Of course, we can do our readings daily. We can attend the Sunday morning classes. We can attend the weekly classes. We can attend the study days. We can go to the Bible schools. We can go to sisters' weekends. We can go to brothers' weekends. All of these things help us to make God's word a part of our life. Back in the psalm, in verse 10, it says that we should forget thine own people. We have a biological inheritance from Adam. We're all prone to sin and prone to death. We must overcome that from our people. Many of us have come from families that have not been part of the body of Christ. And we have made a choice to leave them and come and be part of the body of Christ. And it doesn't mean that we don't love them anymore and have respect for them, but we have now have a priority. And the priority is that Christ is first in our life, a higher allegiance. Remember, Jesus was speaking with a group, and someone on the outside said that his mother and her brothers wanted to see him. And he said that his mother and his brethren were those who followed Christ. And so he had to take a next step, the higher level, and follow God in having his family at the second level, which did not mean that he didn't love them, but he had a higher priority. In verse 13 of the psalm, it talks about that inner beauty, the character of the bride of Christ, the things of the heart. And we think once again in Samuel, and when he selected David, he said, God told him, when he looked at the various candidates to be the next king, that God looks upon the heart of man. And that was why David was selected to succeed Saul. What we do when we are alone and by ourselves really indicates where our heart is and what is that inner character that we have. What did David do when he was herding the sheep out there by himself? He thought about the Lord. We have the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." Those were the kind of things that David thought about when he was by himself herding the sheep. And those are the kind of things that we need to think about when we are by ourselves and have time to contemplate our lives and the Word of God in our lives. And then back in the psalm, it talks about the companions that were virgins. And we must have companions that will complement and help the things that we have first in our lives. Companions that will share our goals, that will not detract from our scriptural examples. It says a man is evaluated by the kind of friends that he had. And certainly it mentions here that the bride of Christ had friends that were virgins. So, brethren and sisters, I've shared with you my discovery of the 45th Psalm, where it talks about our King, powerful and yet meek and righteous, one that was anointed by his God, our God, and we want to follow his example. And secondly, it talks about the bride of the King, so beautiful that he loves her, and she loves him. She had a spotless character, and we must try to provide that kind of a character in our lives now. Listen to the word. Retain it in our minds. Put God first in our lives, and have companions that will help us on the way. And I would like to close by reading again verse 17 from the psalm, which is a description of the bride of Christ. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. And it is our hope and our desire that we will be part of that group.